Logos appear over black. Think Film, MTV Films, Paramount, a Viacom company, A&E Indie Films, and Participant Productions. In a bedroom, a man with a buzzed head, sideburns, and goatee takes off his wide-legged jeans while sitting in his manual low-backed wheelchair. He uses his hands to push his pants down his thighs, then hoists himself up to nudge them closer to his knees. He adjusts his boxers, then leans way back to draw his knees up and push his jeans forward. He uses one hand to lift the weight of his leg from under his thigh as he uses the other hand to push his jeans off his ankle and foot. He pulls his calf in to settle his foot back on the footrest. He repeats the process on his other leg, revealing a black tattoo spanning the length of his calf. He uses his arms to lift his other foot back onto the footrest. Cut to black. Think Film and MTV Films present, in association with A&E Indie Films. The man holds a knee to his chest as he puts one leg into a pair of gym shorts. He lets it drop through the hole, then lifts his other knee to his chest. He pulls his shorts over his foot, then lets the other leg drop into the hole. He pulls one foot back onto the footrest, then leans to the side to pull his shorts up to his waist. He takes off his t-shirt and tosses it aside. Cut to black. An Eat Film production. In close-up, the man presses a nozzle onto a wheelchair's tire's air valve. The air pump is labeled Zupan. The wheel's aluminum spoke protector is scratched and dented, a faded American flag in the center. The man sticks in an axle and connects the wheel to the chair frame. A rubber wheel spins in a circle. Cut to black. A film by Dana Adam Shapiro, Jeffrey Mandel, Henry Alex Rubin, another young man using a wheelchair interviews.
I've been out in clubs, I've been out all over the place, and people will come up to me and they'll shake my hand and say, "Oh, it's good to see you out." And I look at them like, "Good to see me out." You know, like, where am I supposed to be, in a closet hanging out?
Another man with partial limbs.
What I can do, what probably people don't think I can do, is I can cook and I can drive. I might not be a great cook, I might not be a great driver, but I can do both.
A man in a black cap sits on a bed.
People say some of the dumbest things. Like, I'll be at the grocery store loading the groceries into my car, and people like, and then I go to get my car, and like, "Well, do you need help in your car?" It's like, well, I wouldn't have come to the grocery store if I couldn't get back in my car.
A garage door opens on the man with a calf tattoo.
I've gone up to people, start talking shit, and they're like, "Oh," I go, "What, you're not going to hit a kid in a chair? Fucking hit me. I'll hit you back."
Pumping his muscular arms, he races down a street in his chair. Text, executive producers Randy Manis, Jeff Sackman, Mark Ehrman. Athletes roll their chairs in a fast circle. Executive producer Micah Green. In a gym, teams clash over a ball, and a man goes down, tipping his chair. A title, Murder Ball. Two referees.
Quadriplegic rugby was developed in Canada, and the original name for the game was Murder Ball.
Marty, USA Pit Crew.
What we do is we take these wheelchairs and make them into a gladiator, a battling machine, a Mad Max wheelchair that can withstand knocking the living daylights out of each other.
The majority of the people that play wheelchair rugby have broken their necks. So we have rods, plates, screws inside. The biggest misconception is, "You're quadriplegic? Oh, I thought they couldn't move their arms." And I'm like, no, I have impairment in all four limbs.
The higher you break your neck, the less mobility you have.
So we're given point values ranging from a half a point to 3.5 points based on what you can move. You can't exceed 8 points on the court at one time.
Andy.
Well, I'm a 2 because I have some hand function and full arm function. My hands don't close, they only open. So kind of like spatulas for pancakes or flipping people off.
Car crash 10 years ago.
When I was 16, I was in a car accident. The car hit a tree and made the car flip. And when it flipped, the roof came down on my head. And I became an incomplete C6 quadriplegic.
Hogsett fist fight 13 years ago.
I was out on the back porch and he was trying to pick a fight with me. And he picked me up and threw me off the deck. And he punched me and it snapped my spinal cord. I've got a few muscles left. But like for the most part, my trunk's paralyzed them to about right here. I've got a bicep, my triceps are paralyzed. I've got very little finger function. Hold on, let me move them. There, did you see him? I moved him.
Zupan.
One thing that we do to help grip the ball is we add some kind of glue so it's sticky and you can actually pick the ball up and throw it.
Car accident 11 years ago.
I'm a 3 and my grip is affected. I can't close that. Plus I'm missing a muscle in my left shoulder. My accident happened in Florida when I was 18. My buddy spun out, threw me into a canal, and I spent 13 and a half hours in the canal holding onto a branch until somebody found me.
On the court, Zupan charges another player, tipping his chair. Mark Zupan's parents.
He has always been what I call a tough kid. You know, I know very few people that would ever fuck with Mark.
Just to see him out on the court with the tattoos up his arm and the goatee, he's intimidating. He's one of these players that people try to just stay away from.
Jason.
Jay, where do you want to go?
Down or up?
To the up.
Where?
I have backup.
Where?
I have back.
Where?
Zupan lifts the bottom of a guy's chair in a hotel lobby. Andy tips backwards in the tussle, and hotel managers take note.
You want us to call security?
My hypothesis on Mark was he was very much an asshole before he was in the wheelchair, so any attempt to try to point to the wheelchair or the accident as the cause of his grumpiness would be an utter hoax.
Zupan's friends smile in a bar. Now, text reads, Gothenburg, Sweden. A banner advertises the 2002 Wheelchair Rugby World Championship as a guy in an Austria shirt messes around with another guy in a brick plaza. He spikes a ball on his lap. The Australian team gathers in a lobby. Two women.
Yeah, we just arrived today from Stockholm and we just saw a lot of people in wheelchairs and of course wonder what they're doing.
Text, quadriplegics from 12 countries meet to compete in the Wheelchair Rugby World Championship. Team USA. Marty.
The United States has dominated the sport of wheelchair rugby for the last 10 years.
I'll be the first one to say, look, I just want to beat the bloody Americans more than any team.
The teams pose Australia, Belgium, Great Britain, and Japan.
Other countries find the United States pretty arrogant. They've been winning this game for a long time.
Hey, boys, that's what we came to fucking do.
There's been, I believe, 11 international competitions. The U.S. has won all of them.
Got them up?
Text, after 3 days of tournament play, Team USA is undefeated in Sweden. The team slaps hands with the Australian team. An older guy in a polo with a Canadian flag makes his way to the gym sidelines and posts up near an American flag. A woman in a USA sweatshirt steps over to him. Subtitles. Joe, can you wait until we're done?
Yeah, I can, but Kevin came over here during one of our games, and we weren't, so he wanted to kick us out the same way.
She leaves.
Fuck you, bitch.
Joe, polio, 43 years ago, 1996.
Joe Soares is arguably the best quad rugby player in the world. Childhood polio took Joe's ability to walk, but not his drive to excel.
Joe's nephew.
My Uncle Joe, you go to his house and he has this wall of fame. It's not just a small little shelf. It's huge.
Trophies read, most valuable player, national champions, best of class. On the news.
Joe's one of the most competitive men I've ever been around. It shows in his sports accomplishment and it shows in his efforts. Being around him is like being around Elway and all those other guys that I hang out with. Just a great competitor.
In 96, Joe was the man. That gold medal, he was a huge part of that. Unfortunately, his speed started going down. He became older. So he got cut.
Wendy Gumbert, GM, Team USA.
Joe got a little upset, a little angry. He didn't make the team. Tried to take us to court.
He pissed and moaned and cried over it, and he lost all of his protest.
Just because things didn't work out for him, he jumped ship and left to go up north. And now he's coach of Team Canada.
2-3 Canada!
Yeah! We took the plays with him. He took some of our calls with him so he'd know when to attack and how to attack.
USA, learn a new way.
If Joe was on the side of the road on fire, I wouldn't piss on him to put it out.
Yeah!
Yeah. Joe taunts Zupan on the court.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah! Yeah, anytime, big boy.
He thought that I should respect him for just who he was. Well, fuck you. I ain't gonna respect you for who you are. You gotta gain respect through me.
Remove you from my face if you yell at me again.
Oh, man, if you think you're man enough, okay? Oh, go fuck eggs, boy.
Text. After beating six countries, fifth-ranked Canada advances to the finals. Team USA poses with determined expressions. On the other side of the gym, Joe crosses his arms with Team Canada.
This is ours for the taking, boys. This is ours. So tonight, no drinking, go to bed early, and get ready for USA in the finals. Yeah. You got that? All right, boys, great job! Great job! Great job!
Text, for the first time, Joe will face his former USA teammates in USA's locker room.
Tomorrow, I don't want to see anyone talking to anyone else except for your team. They're going to be talking all kinds of trash. Joe's going to say whatever the hell Joe says. I don't care. The only reason why Joe went to Canada is to beat the United States. And we're going to take care of business. We're going to kick the shit out of them.
It's our time! We wanted them! We got them! This is it! On the count of three, loud and proud! Loud and proud! One, two, three, Canada!
Bob Lugiano.
The objective basically is to inbound the ball. We play on a regulation basketball court. You go from one end to the other end.
Stop the ball! Stop the ball! Stop the ball! Stop the ball!
Two wheels have to cross over the line with possession of the ball. And you get 1 point.
USA 1, Canada 0.
The other guys stop you by slamming their chair into you.
Help him! Dave! Dave! Help him!
You have to dribble the ball or pass to a teammate once every 10 seconds. But other than that, it's basically kill the man with the ball.
USA tips a Team Canada player. Joe gestures wildly.
Everybody get back! Everybody get back! Get the hell back! Get the hell! Get over here! Get over here! Get over here! Everybody over here! Everybody stay here!
Zupan slaps hands with his teammate.
That cheap crap!
Push, G!
Motherfuckers!
Two players collide at high speed.
Blow the whistle, please. Tell him not to stop.
Text, third period, USA 12, Canada 10. A USA athlete muscles past a Canadian, and the scoreboard ticks up to 13.
You got that one right there. He's behind you.
Pick it up. Pressure.
Canada passes, then USA gets the ball.
Head up. USA, down.
Fourth period, USA 19, Canada 19. Canada ties the score later at 24-24. Huddling.
Pick for this man, that's a job.
Play a position. When you're back here on this last man standing, stay with this man.
Canada has the ball with 20 seconds left. USA cuts them off. Canada passes, then scores. The players bang their wheel drums. 10 seconds left.
We're gonna do this, guys! It's gonna happen right now!
A USA player races across the court with the ball. He passes, but Andy doesn't catch it. The Canadian players pump their arms and slap hands. Joe hugs another coach. Andy hunches his shoulders and aggressively adjusts his feet. Zupan glances across the court, where Joe shouts, then lifts his hands in the air with a wide smile. The other Canadian coaches jump up and down and congratulate the players. Joe shouts to the players and pulls them in for tight hugs. The players hug each other, then line up to slap hands with Team USA. The final score reads 24-25. Zupan hugs his tearful coach.
It was really an exciting thing. Congratulations.
An official gives Team USA medals. Subtitles, don't look so sad. There's going to be other tournaments. To Joe.
Present this, man.
Thank you, my pleasure. Excellent. Great job.
Oh, Canada, we stand.
Team USA slumps and frowns. Andy hangs his head. Canada moves from fifth place to first place in the rankings. At night, players and fans dance and party in a hotel event room. They pass liquor bottles, wrestle, and toast each other. Joe approaches two players for Team USA.
Fuck. Andy, do I need to buy a beer or something? Andy, if we would have lost by one, I would have been happy for your ass.
But if you would have paid your dues in the U.S., you would have been fucking head coach. I know you would have because you have more knowledge.
I paid my dues for 12 years, buddy.
Right.
You know what? You've got many years to play afterwards. Guess what, bud? That was my last shot, baby.
How's it feel to betray your country, man?
Joe narrows his eyes. Text, USA and Canada will face each other again at the 2004 Paralympics in Athens, Greece. Text over a sports complex reads, Birmingham, Alabama, Team USA training camp. They train under an Olympics banner. Lakeshore Foundation official U.S. training site. Kevin Orr, coach, Team USA.
There's a perception that everyone can play this game. If we start with 500 players that play in the United States, we whittle down that group and get our best 12 players. And the level of the play that's going to be in Athens is far higher than World Championships was in 2002. I mean, you got to pull in the 12 guys that are there that are going to have your back in order to win a gold.
5 minutes.
The team plays cards.
Let's do a game called Sweat. It's just it's five cards up each time.
Wow.
Good call, buddy.
Stiff check.
Out. All right, I'm in. What the hell?
No.
Bobby!
Flip him.
Full house.
Yeah, he does. That was a sport.
Explain to us why you think he's interesting.
We respect Joe. Hopefully he respects us, and that's it.
I don't.
I think he tried to help us with some fundamentals. He tried to help us with some clutch situations.
Who cares? Does that just make him a shining star in the sky?
Does that mean you go coach Canada?
On the professional level, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Play card.
That's number two on the list of most stupid things I've ever heard. I heard at this camp, I heard Sam say he doesn't like big tits.
Yeah, he doesn't want tits.
And he'd dump a girl with big tits. And
everything
was
cute. Don't lie.
It's over.
Don't lie.
They get in the way.
I like athletic girls. That's what I said all along that night when they asked me.
You knew you weren't going to live that one down.
I'm okay with my sexuality. I can say that. I don't like big tits.
You like shoes, though.
I do like shoes.
They use an automatic shuffler. Later, a coach times Andy.
Everybody who gets hurt thinks they're going to walk again. Your mind becomes a bigger disability than physical stuff. I had the idea that I would get better and walk again, so I was kind of just going to hide and kind of deny the whole thing until it went away. I didn't go outside. I even got to the point where I got scared to get the newspaper in the morning just because I thought people would look at me, like in the driveway. And just that kind of fed itself.
A view moves through a rehab center. Hogsett.
What's really hard is the first 2 years. Quadriplegics, when they come out of the hospital, after they've broken their neck, and they've got very little function, when they get out, they can't do anything for themselves. They've got someone helping them, someone wiping their ass, and they work for the next 3 to 4 years trying to get independent. It's a mind fuck in the beginning, and then either you make it or you don't.
Text appears next to a young, dark-haired man in a black baseball cap. Keith, motocross accident 4 months ago. At the rehab gym, he watches a patient in a back brace. An older patient strapped to an inverted bench moves an arm over his chest, then rests. Another patient has a trach tube and atrophied arms. Keith watches a therapist push a man in a wheelchair, trailing a medical cart. Another trainer pushes Keith off in his chair. Keith's mom.
All his life, as soon as he was able to get on a tricycle, he's been on wheels, bicycles, dirt bikes, quads. He loved wheels. Now, one of the favorite things in the world to Keith hurt him.
At the Kessler Institute for Rehabilitation.
You got
Keith holds onto a therapist's hands and shakily lifts his torso to a sit. He catches a foam football with another therapist.
When you go down to that gym, you realize how much you're broken down. You're really almost at an infant's level. You get frustrated because you can't even lift your arm up to itch your nose. Just shaking hands with somebody, I can't even make a firm grip with my hand to present myself.
He holds out a shaky hand.
And that type of reality check, it just, you can't explain to anybody.
A therapist supervises as he transfers from his chair to his bed. He uses his arms to pull his leg onto the bed, then crosses it over his other leg to rest his shoe on his thigh. He struggles to loosen the bindings of his Velcro sneaker.
And Velcro's put on too tight.
The therapist loosens one Velcro strap, then the other. Keith loops his thumb under the first strap and pulls at it. He gets it loose, then works on slipping off the shoe. Fade to black. Text appears outside a sunny house, Tampa, Florida, Joe's Super Bowl party. Dave Wilsey, captain, Team Canada.
Hello, my name is Joe Torres. And I have to tell you, brother, this is the wall that's about me. These are the trophies that I've won through the years. So we go through all this, and we have Texas, Texas, Texas. Those are my MVPs. Those are my MVPs. I'm doing you, Joe.
Joe wears a Buccaneers jersey.
Come on over here, Joe. We're having fun.
Dave puts his arm around him.
This here is the gold medal from Sweden that we won, Joe. We're glad that he can keep it in his room. I think he's got the Canadian flag put proudly there.
Hey, did somebody invite this guy? Did somebody invite this guy over here?
To go from winning gold medals for the United States, just because he snubbed one tryout camp, he's going to turn around and snub his entire country? No, because he is Benedict Arnold.
Okay, Benedict Arnold was in a war, and when he betrayed his country, many people died because of that. Okay, this isn't a war.
It's war to me, baby. Look out, Athens.
Joe grills steaks.
Robert, open this up and let me know if you want to cook longer. Okay, open it up now. Get a fork and use that knife.
Robert, Joe's son.
Just cut a piece at the corner.
What would you say?
I don't know. Cut a little piece off. It's your taste, not mine. I have no idea what you like. I know you like it more, but... yeah, I know, but I like it one way, you like it another. You cut it. Well, guess what? I'm busy.
Robert drops his bite.
Put it in here.
Robert walks away with his steak. Later.
And three. We're Canada, we're far from our home. When people don't like us, they leave us alone. We drink and get drunk. We're Canada, rugby, so piss off and die.
Robert smiles as he watches the guys.
I'll just say one thing, okay?
Curfew 10 o'clock.
In a year and a half, we have become strongest family I've ever had, as far as a second family, okay? You guys have really made me feel right at home, and I absolutely consider you guys my boys. You guys are my boys, and you'll be my boys for long.
Yeah!
In his room, Robert plays viola.
This is the poster my dad got when he actually went to the Paralympics in 1996. He's right here. He's going to chase by one of the guys with his ball. This is actually a shirt that my dad ended up giving me. He didn't actually want it anymore, though, but I don't know why. It has the quad rugby team from 1996 on it.
He wears the shirt.
Here's Joe. Right there.
There's Dad.
Dad. This is Dad.
Robert dusts trophies.
My dad is one of the best rugby players in the world. But it's annoying to dust my dad's trophy wall because sometimes you even have to get up on a ladder and go all the way up to the top and dust up there and dust in and out and around every single trophy.
Sammy, Robert's friend.
Robert's known for two things, getting nothing but A's and B's, and that his dad's in a wheelchair and plays wheelchair rugby.
My son's report card. He received an award of merit for his outstanding performance as school safety patrol.
You get trophies for necessarily good work. I got this for the Amethyst Team High Honor Roll for conduct, grades, and behavior.
Hey, 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 hey. You pick first.
No.
Steve Costa, Joe's friend.
Joe never really sat and bitched to me that, you know, my kid doesn't do this, my kid doesn't do that. But you could hear it in some of the things he'd say. Oh, he doesn't play sports, and I wish he would. And he'd try to convince him to it and get him to try something, and it wouldn't stick.
Sixth grade year was really hard because before I got moved up to advanced class, the kids thought I was just a smarty pants and a know-it-all and all the other stuff.
Kids can get very jealous and want to pick on me and Robert, or just Robert.
One day I ripped a page out of his book to teach him a lesson, and I'll do it again if he acts up again.
Stop.
I always told them, if some bully's picking on you, if you have no other recourse and they're coming after you, then go right for the nose. I remember I was either 7 or 8, and there was this one kid, and he would call me cripple and, you know, gimp and everything else, and he made me really mad, and I just made sure I waited for the right opportunity, and I was close enough to him, and I was sitting on the ground, because, of course, I couldn't walk, and I tripped him, and he went down, and when I did, I jumped on him, and once I had him, I just beat the living hell out of him, because my upper body was a lot stronger than his.
In Austin, Texas, Zupan edges up to the side of a pool, then plants his feet and tips himself into the water. His mom and a younger woman watch from lounge chairs as he takes a breath, then sinks. He treads water.
Sink like a rock.
He smiles, holding onto the edge.
Mark is definitely what I would classify as a jock.
He pulls his girlfriend Jess into the pool.
And I never would have thought, given it any thought to hang out with jocks, to be honest.
When I met her, she was doing an internship at the morgue. How many girls do you meet that work at the morgue and that are cool and enjoy it? Cute.
I actually really miss working at the morgue. I miss the work. I miss the people.
She makes air quotes. They play in the pool together.
First time I saw Mark Zupan was at a friend of ours' funeral. He rolled in, introduced himself, and I don't think we had a moment apart from that night.
They smile at each other in the water, and he rubs something from her face.
I really think it's curiosity that attracts a lot of girls to quadriplegics, and I think maybe also to some extent it's the mothering instinct.
Jess tightens the laces on his sneakers. He sips water in the car as she pumps gas.
But you are always trying to keep it real.
Fade to black. Now, Keith meets with a doctor at the rehab center.
I had a girlfriend prior to the injury, and as I get discharged from here and I have get back to my private life, now, how would that affect, will I be able to be sexually active?
The short answer is yes. We have a video to show how to do it. As time goes on, we're going to go through a whole program in terms of what techniques you may need.
A video, Sexuality Reborn, Sexuality Following Spinal Cord Injury. The doctor sits in an armchair.
Often, adjustment after spinal cord injury involves a reevaluation or reordering of priorities in one's life. One must work through the issue of, why did this happen to me? And make a conscious decision to move forward in life.
Young people party and smoke.
Women are not threatened by the guy that's in the chair. They come up, strike on great casual conversation, and you're like, okay, is she seeing the chair or is she seeing me?
You know, like everyone's like, what's your approach, Scott? How do you work these women? Fuck it, man. I'm like, the more pitiful I am, the more the women like me.
The girls who are interested, you know, if they really like you, there is one question that pops in their head pretty quick.
but they don't want to come out and say it. So they'll start with like, oh, you know, how'd you get hurt?
So you can't move them.
So you can move them some, or you can't move your arms?
Yeah, I can move them. But see, it takes about 10 to 20 minutes of work in that chick. And then she finally drops the bomb, you know, can you do it?
Is it dead?
Dead.
No, it's all still very, very good.
I think everyone here, ding, ding, ding. Woohoo!
Wait, so some can get it up, but so not... Can.
It's not a given with every quad. When I first got injured, I was in intensive care. And everyone was curious to how I was going to be, how much function I was going to have when I came out of my coma that I was in. I was about ready to wake up, and the nurses decided to give me a bed bath in the bed. And the one nurse got so excited that I got a Woody, she ran outside and got my mom and showed her my erection.
Really?
Yeah.
Physical changes occur immediately after spinal cord injury. Before you engage in any sexual activity with a partner, it would be helpful to know how your new body works. This can most effectively be accomplished by masturbating.
In rehab, the first thing I learned how to do was jerk off. You know, that's the very first thing I learned. Yeah. You know, I'd rather be able to grab my meat than grab a toothbrush.
You break your neck, and look, these things may be impaired, but, you know, that still works, and when you're in a chair, you usually like to eat pussy.
A man bites off a woman's underwear.
It's humorous at times to watch the process of trying that. You know, you might fall over, you might have to do some modifications to it.
Well, but so does the girl have to be on top?
A lot of girls like being on top.
I got a modified doggy style that I kind of perfected. Since I have less hand grip, I use a towel. I wrap a towel like, or a belt around her like waist, and then I like hold it like right there, and then just do my thing, you know?
My first full-on sex after being in a wheelchair was a very great moment in my life, just knowing that I could just still, not just the physical act, but that, you know, you could still go out one night, meet a girl, and get lucky. Things that you don't think are possible anymore.
Text over black, Team Canada training, 8 months before Paralympics.
I try to be constructive, okay? Constructive stuff you got to be able to accept. And you can't be sensitive, okay? And if you do your job, am I going to yell at you? How do you think you guys have gotten to the level where we are right now? And that's because when you mess up, you need someone there. Hey, when you were growing up, let me ask you something. When you guys were growing up, and your dad told you not to do something, and you did it, what did he have to do? He had to ground you, right? Whichever way. Well, guess what? I'm the same way. I've got to do that, okay?
My theory on discipline, if you start early and you let him know that you will back up what you say, then usually by age 5, the discipline is already established.
Robert hops off a car.
Please don't do that. Don't do that again. You hear me? Stop acting up.
I'm acting up.
Robert, go with mom.
No, I mean...
Go with mom now.
Nice out here. I can hear you better.
If I say it again, you're done.
He sulks off.
If you give them tough love, they learn the difference from wrong and right. And my dad was a police officer. If you badmouthed him, you did anything at all, there was consequences. And he was very hard-nosed, and he had really huge hands, and he hit really hard. And I let him know that it's not even close. What I do to him, then, that what my father did to me.
Robert listens from the floor. Now, Joe arrives at an elegant restaurant. Text, Joe and Patty's 22nd anniversary.
Thank you. Robbie's not going to want that, is he?
No, he won't.
Patty, you need to calm down with Robert a little bit.
You think he'd be who he is?
You think that he'd be who he is without the discipline that he gets from me? He wouldn't be.
Okay. And sometimes,
every parent goes a little bit overboard sometimes. But I'd rather be too strict than not be strict enough. Patty raises her cocktail.
To you.
To you.
To Team Canada, hopefully.
To Team Canada, hopefully. To the gold, baby.
A gold, baby. Golden rainbow.
Golden rainbow. They sip their drinks. Joe's sister's interview.
Rugby at one point took over a lot. Rugby. They're like, you used to be like addicted. It's like an addiction. It's like some drug, like a drug for him.
When it comes closer to the point in time where the game is going to go on,
He gets more edgy, more irritable.
Robert, I got up this morning at 6:30. I went to bed at 12.
We're doing it tomorrow.
We're doing it tomorrow.
So we could do like 3 threes and like a deuce out there. I figure travel would be a great option.
The doctor wants him to take it easy and not get overstressed.
Score, score, score.
And Joe is continuing to coach, and he wants to continue to play.
No! No! He doesn't have the ball!
So stupid. We will keep on
right away
until we see you go white.
Fabian, get out of there!
Keep going, for God. Oh,
yeah. On the count of 3, 4, 2, 3!
Text over black. After complaining of severe chest pains, Joe suffers a heart attack. Joe lies unconscious on a hospital bed. He's wheeled into a procedure room, and Patty peeks through doors.
He said he has a little knot there.
Wire.
Do you want 50 or 25 Demerol?
50.
50?
It's a 6-inch sheet.
50 Demerol, Kristen.
A screen reads Soares, Joseph L., and FPS Coronary. Another screen displays an x-ray as a doctor moves a catheter through blood vessels. He looks up at a heart rate monitor. It flatlines. The doctor retracts the catheter as Patty peers in the window. On the screen, branches of vessels fill with blood. The monitor shows steady peaks, and the doctor snips the end of surgical thread. Patty fidgets nervously as she waits. Now, an American flag flies on a pole. Patty passes a nurse on her way into Joe's recovery room. The nurse puts a straw in Joe's mouth, and he drinks water. Patty smiles. Fade to black. A black and white photo of a group in formal wear comes to life as text appears. Zupan's 10-year high school reunion. A sign reads, "Welcome back, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, class of 1993. Classmates hug and chat. Zupan shakes a guy's hand, then chats with a group. A headline reads, "Cry for help leads to man injured 14 hours earlier." Passages read, "Bed of the truck asleep when it crashed, thrown into the lake."
I was playing college soccer. We went out after a game we won. Had a few too much to drink, so I went and passed out in my buddy's pickup truck. He crashed. I went flying. He was drunk, and that was that.
In the news, Christopher Igo's pickup.
Knowing Zupan and Igo as well as I do, this day, 10 years later, sometimes I feel worse for Igo than I do for Zupan.
Why isn't Igo at our 10-year reunion? I mean, there was apprehension on both of their parts because this is something very difficult.
But I believe he feels if he came here, some part of Igo's mind would say everyone else in this reunion is going to be looking at us and saying, there's Mark and the guy that put him in the wheelchair.
A black and white picture shows a high school football team, then zooms in on two players standing side by side. Zupan's parents.
They were two best friends, and after the accident, Chris Igo thought I was going to, he thought I was going to beat the shit out of him. And I hugged him. What else could I do? I says, this was an accident. I know you didn't do this intentionally. And as a result of that, don't worry about it. But you are responsible. And don't forget that either.
A photo shows Mark in the hospital.
I didn't have a lot of anger. I had a lot of concern. I had concern that my son was going to die. And I had concern that Chris wasn't going to survive the mental challenge. It's got to be horrendous.
Yeah.
To live with that every day.
Your
it
best
has
friend.
To be horrendous.
Mark's dad smokes a cigarette. Now, a view travels along a dark highway at night. The streetlights blur, and a semi-truck passes. Christopher Igo drives.
The night of the accident started pretty innocently enough.
We were doing shots with the girls, and we were, you know, just slamming beer senseless. Next thing I know, I'm getting woken up by the bouncer. You know, I had driven drunk prior to that. Well, you know, everybody pretty much had. It wasn't a big deal at that point. I'm just thinking, all right, I'm going to get home.
A sign, Cypress Creek Road, 1 mile. Christopher parks on the side of the highway and walks down a dark embankment.
He had to have got launched all the way over this and landed in the canal. And, you know, I had absolutely no idea that he was in the truck. And I had a long, hard time, you know, accepting that fact because it's just so foreign. For me to come back and see this, I don't know. You know, I'm not getting a real emotional reaction. It's just a place that something bad happened. There was an accident, you know? It was simply an accident.
He walks back to his car and gets behind the wheel. Driving.
You know, people talk about hitting rock bottom. I mean, I not to sound like overly dramatic or anything, but I was definitely acting suicidal, whether I knew that or not.
Zupan's friends at the reunion.
They quite possibly been the two worst personalities for this accident to happen to together. You've got Zupan, who is not an emotional person that's going to say, Igo, let's get all this out. Let's hear it. You feel guilty. I understand your guilt. I can help you with that. You've got Igo, who very much is, I don't need anyone's help.
A classmate says to Zupan, he called us Monday at like 3 in the morning.
Was he sober
or was he drunk? He was drunk.
They seem to have the perfect storm of personality quirks that may prevent the two of them from ever saying exactly what the other one needs to hear or to make both of them whole to move forward with it.
A photo shows young Zupan and Igo in suits.
I was pretty hard on him. I would have him come get me, and he had a pager, and I just blew up his pager. I just would continually call. I would project my anger on the people that I care about. I mean, when you come out of rehab, you have traces of your old self just everywhere. Where you used to sit after you'd come home from, I don't know, a soccer game, a party or whatever. Or just seeing soccer shoes or stuff you would use in an able-bodied life in your closet. You have pictures. You have pictures of you playing sports. You have your friends. You figure out that home isn't necessarily comforting, but it gets to you inside.
Just keep it up. That's all we ask.
Keith wears a collared shirt and styles his hair.
Cool stuff. Is he going somewhere?
Yeah, home.
After 10 months in rehab, Keith is going home.
Good
luck, Keith.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Keith, you're leaving.
If you guys want, write down, like, your contacts. And I'll definitely let you know when we're going to go out. They'll definitely be having, like, parties and stuff and an all-out party where all you guys are going to come down.
That's good. I'll be there, man.
Oh, come on.
A few therapists give him a gift. He struggles with the envelope.
This is a therapy joke.
I didn't pick the card, actually. Melissa did, so you can blame it on her. Let me help you.
I got it.
He uses his fingers to tear the envelope at its folds, then lifts out a card and steadies the spine on his chest as he maneuvers his fingers between the folds. The therapists watch as he holds one side of the card with his thumb and opens it. He reads several inscriptions. Outside in the parking lot, he transfers himself from his chair to the front seat of his mom's car. She drives, and he smiles as he looks ahead out the windshield. He holds his hand out the window in the wind, his fingers bent at the second knuckle. A handicap tag hangs on the rearview mirror. He waves to a young woman as they pull up to an apartment building. She kisses him, then walks alongside him through the courtyard. A happy healing balloon hangs on the handicapped resident parking sign. Keith navigates his wheelchair up a wooden ramp into a first-floor apartment door.
Is that cute?
Yeah.
He opens a bathroom curtain to a shower chair.
That's a new chair, right? Yeah, it looks brand new. That little one
in there. I gave to him, like, the first week.
Oh, yeah, no, we wouldn't leave that.
That first week that he was in Robert Wood.
I mean, there was a little more compact. There's one, when we were looking at, had a case and everything.
Especially in the summer, like, the rain and the
But this really sucks.
What sucks?
I said it's like, everything here is nice and all.
Well, this is Lee going. This has to...
I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's just like when you came to from Robert Wood to Kessler. It was a new transition, different schedule. You gotta give it a couple weeks.
Okay, let's just have a moment.
Yeah, but...
Preach to me all you want. It's not gonna make a difference.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I'm thankful I'm here. I could have been so much worse off. But the fact is what was once normal will never be the same. And that's just settling in right now.
In a garage, a couple men move items away to reveal a motocross motorcycle leaned against the back wall.
Sure you want to see this?
The man wheels it out. The bike has number 169 displayed up front and is covered in dried mud. A view shows the scar down the back of Keith's neck as he looks over the Hyundai racing bike. One of the guys holds a helmet.
Imagine if he didn't have this on.
He turns it over in his hands. Keith takes it from him and studies it with a distant expression. The view pulls out to show Keith in his driveway, sitting in his chair and staring down the motorcycle. Fade to black. A banner, USA Lakeshore Foundation official U.S. training site.
Selection is a hard part. We've got a great responsibility going towards Athens. We're going there to win gold. And selected a team that I feel gives us the best opportunity to do that.
6 months before the Paralympics, Team USA final cuts.
From Tempe, Arizona, Andy Cohn.
He shakes Kevin's hand. Others wait anxiously.
From San Diego, California, Sam Glore, Cliff Chun, Lynn Nelson, Brent Poppin, Bob Lujano.
Zupan claps for him.
From Phoenix, Arizona, Scott Hogsett.
Now by himself, Zupan claps his hands one on top of the other. Kevin smiles at Hogsett.
From Austin, Texas, Mark Zupan.
Zupan shakes Kevin's hand, then joins his teammates.
This is the 2004 USA Paralympic rugby team.
Two, three, USA! Rugby!
Children cheer in a gym.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
We're trying to learn all their names.
Hi, Carly.
What's your name?
Melissa.
It's nice to meet you.
The players sign autographs.
So do you like rugby, huh, Melissa? Do you like it?
Be a little bashful.
You have a question?
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Sure.
How'd you eat your pizza with your elbows?
How did I eat it with my elbows? Well, I just picked it up like this.
He demonstrates with a folder.
I use this chair to help me. This is my everyday chair. Just get up like this.
The kids watch as Bob lifts himself from the floor into a low wheelchair.
How did you lose your arms?
Oh, I got sick when I was like 9 years old and contracted a blood disease. But I'm all right. That's all that matters. I'm alive. I use everything I have to get through life. So that's what we all have to do. Use everything we have.
Fade to black. In the evening, Bob unlocks his apartment door and heads inside. With his right arm missing from just below the elbow and his left arm missing just above, Bob flips on a light at the socket, then uses a wooden handle to turn on the kitchen sink. He takes a mitt off the end of his left arm to load dishes into the dishwasher. Holding it between the distal ends of his residual limbs, he sets down a cup and pours himself juice. He sits in bed, his legs missing from just below his waist.
I contracted meningococcalemia when I was 9 years old, and it's an early stage of meningitis. Very rare form, just happens overnight, just like picking up a cold. It couldn't really do anything for me. They pretty much counted me off, you know, that I wasn't going to make it. They brought a priest in to give last rites and everything, so they looked pretty grim. And then I just woke up and had no legs. That's what I remember, being wheeled into the emergency room. And I can kind of look down and just, I saw my legs and my feet, and just heading to the operating room, just kind of knew this wasn't good.
A photo shows him smiling as a kid.
My father was very much instrumental in helping me deal with everything. I remember times whenever kids would kind of laugh or point, he would kind of laugh along with them and kind of joke about it. You know, once I saw him kind of lightening the situation, you know, it didn't make me feel upset or you know, hurt.
Bob sits at a bar, then works in an office cubicle.
I'm a 33-year-old single male in Birmingham, and I think I'm living what every person that's a single male is supposed to be living. You know, I live independently, I take care of myself, cook for myself, have my own job.
Yeah, these are my artificial limbs, and I use it primarily just to button up and zip up, and I also have to use them to drive. When I first started out, I drove without them, and I got in a car accident, and the first thing they said was, "Do you have your seatbelt on?" "No." "Do you have your arms on?" "No." You know, of course, it's very much humiliating, but yet, you know, life still goes on.
It was a dream that I had where I was flying, and I've actually had it a couple of times, actually very much the same dream, where I'm at my grandmother's house, and that was the house where I lost my limbs as well.
A sketch shows the image.
And I just remember having a dream where I was just flying out into the backyard, flying over the roof of the house, flying, you know, among the trees.
An animated charcoal drawing moves through pine trees under a full moon. A boy grows arms and legs as he flies.
I do see myself having limbs as I was flying. It was, you know, a very liberating feeling, and not wanting it to end and wanting to keep it going, you know.
He stares off with a distant look. Fade to black. Text appears over a white two-story house, Providence, Rhode Island. A man in a police uniform helps Joe up the steep front stoop. Text: for the first time in 7 years, Joe returns to his childhood home. The family eats a meal.
Did he have that exercise?
He would be probably.
My doctor said you've got a heart of a bird.
I believe.
Anybody want to join me in a toast?
Come over here, man.
This is the first time we've seen Uncle Joe since his heart attack, and thank God his heart's pumping strong, and he's doing much better, and he looks great. He's in great health to his future and good health, and God bless him.
I'll be honest here. I'm living the American dream. My family moved here to the U.S. at age 11. And if I had stayed in Portugal, I probably would not have any near the opportunities in life as I've had living here in the U.S. If you've got a disability in Portugal, they become ashamed of having someone. It's a sign of weakness to them. So it's not that I'm not a proud American, you know. I still believe in my country. I live here. But I have a job to do. And it's been a great ride with Team Canada.
Uncle Joe! Uncle Joe! Joe, do a 360.
Okay, 360 coming up. Woo!
Joe's sisters.
After his heart attack, he grew. It's like he grew, he matures.
For some reason, he woke up. God touched Joe somehow. He did. I do believe in that.
I believe him too.
I do believe in that. And everything changes because the way Joe talks is like the new Joe.
He's smart as a whip. Straight A's 3 years in a row. He plays the viola. He's pretty good at it, you know?
I always knew that Joe would grow up to be somebody. He had that fortitude about him. He had a great personality and he had a lot of drive. Unbelievable. For a man to confine to a wheelchair, you know what I'm saying?
Look, I underlined my home phone number. I got the cell number in back.
You look good. You really do. Thank you.
I'm actually the only... The only person in the world to have all three world championships in wheelchair rugby.
Good grief.
I don't think God is into competition, but I think God rewards those who help people out. And the man up there is giving me the strength to be a better coach now than ever, okay? Because, you know, I'm hoping he blesses my team.
Don't get the Americans good in your way. Just beat them. Beat their asses off. They deserve the good beating.
He'll take it, baby.
Cut to black. A city rises beyond a pine forest. Vancouver, Canada. Text, 3 months before the Paralympics, USA faces Canada to determine the number one seed. On a court, the teams line up side by side. Kevin.
This tournament is very important for us because it gives us an opportunity to reclaim what we feel is ours, which being the number one seed going into the Paralympics.
Zupan looks back at Joe with Team Canada and lifts his brows. Kevin slaps Joe's shoulder, and the men shake hands before parting to join their teams. Both teams huddle.
Are we ready to play here, boys?
Yeah!
Are we ready?
USA! Canada!
Go get them!
Team Canada gets the ball and crosses the goal line. They pass and score another point. Zupan charges a Canadian player with the ball.
Watch Zupan! Watch Zupan! Attack, 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 attack!
A Canadian player rams his chair into Zupan's, tipping him. Coaches jog out and right Zupan's chair.
Canada! 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 Canada!
Zupan glares. Third period, USA 8, Canada 10. Zupan knocks down a Canadian player.
Oh, oh. Stop.
USA grabs the ball.
Swarm him! Swarm him! Swarm him! Swarm him!
Zupan catches a pass and easily crosses the goal line. More chairs clash, and players bang their wheel discs. More plays spin nimbly on the court. Then Zupan passes to a teammate, who scores. Fourth period, USA 21, Canada 18. The scores tick up until they're tied at 32.
The Red Machine will crush. We'll crush, okay?
Let's go get this. One, two, three.
USA!
With 15 seconds left, a USA athlete passes the ball. It bounces across the court, and both coaches shout at full tilt. Zupan scoops the ball into his lap.
Swap him! Swap him! Swap him! No, no!
With 2 seconds left, Zupan takes a hit, but still crosses the goal line. Final score, USA 33, Canada 32. Joe throws up his hand as USA celebrates. United States climbs the rankings to number one, placing Canada second. Joe scowls. Zupan.
We got a fucking 2.5 months to go.
Yeah, sure.
Who cares? Right now, this is what we needed to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gold medal winning team, the United States.
With his back turned, Joe wipes his eyes. An official places medals around the necks of the USA players. Joe watches from across the gym, arms folded. Andy lets out a victorious yell. Joe stares up at the ceiling, his lips turned down in a frown. Later, Robert calls.
Is there any way you could take an earlier flight to get to my concert?
I'm going to try to go as quick as I can. Okay, and I miss you, and I love you.
Robert beams. Later, he puts on a tie over a collared shirt. In a school orchestra room, a teacher helps him tune his viola. He polishes it with a cloth, then searches the crowd. Joe makes his way to a parked car, then drives a tree-lined highway. Robert checks his watch, then lifts his viola to his shoulder. In the parking lot, Joe reclines his seat to pull his chair from the back. He moves quickly up the sidewalk towards the school. He arrives in the auditorium and finds Patty. She greets him with a tight hug, squeezing his back. As Robert plays with others on stage, Joe watches with a proud smile. Robert spots his dad in the crowd and waves with a bright smile.
I have six students that did all the writing playoffs and all the written playoffs. So when I call your name, please come down. Samuel Fraser, Caitlin Grant, Jenny Park, Laura Payne, and Robert Soares.
Joe and Patty beam as Robert receives a gold pin.
Good job. Good job.
After.
How you doing, bud?
Well, I'm proud of you. You did a good job, bro.
Robert hugs his dad tight.
You did very well.
At an airport, Zupan rides backwards down an escalator. A brochure stand reads, "Welcome to New York." At baggage claim, Zupan rides his daily chair as he hauls his luggage in his rugby chair. Outside, he cranks his chair with one arm while pushing the loaded rugby chair. Through the city skyline, a near full moon appears behind glowing clouds. Zupan peers out the window as he rides in the back of a car. Keith picks up a flyer. "Please join Mark Zupan, U.S. Paralympic athlete." Keith smiles. Zupan plays a video for a small group in a rehab center.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play this for you guys, and then I'll tell you a little bit about me and then a little bit about the sport itself.
Meet the U.S. wheelchair rugby team. Wheelchair rugby, also known as quad rugby, is for athletes who are quadriplegics.
When people in the community see you in a wheelchair, they kind of treat you like you're made of glass, and they're worried you're fragile and things like that. But in wheelchair rugby, it's kind of just like speed bumper cars. It's a good way of thinking of it.
What team are you on? You on one of them teams there?
I play for the United States Paralympic rugby team.
Do you wear helmets?
No, man.
Why not?
You don't want to do it wearing elbow pads, shin pads, a helmet, or whatever. And that might be just the macho man thing, but...
Is there a technique to, like, falling?
Don't lead with your head.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's kind of interesting because I've actually done more in a chair than I did able body. Don't let this thing limit you for doing anything you want.
Let's just say that down the road as we play, now I have a mentality that I don't want to be in this wheelchair for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
But say we do start walking, do we get kicked off the team right away? Or...
And if you make a full recovery and get out of the chair and walk away, well, then that might be one of the things you have to give up to go walk away.
What is that made from?
Aluminum.
It's aluminum? You just got it put on in like that?
Yeah. And it made. It's custom to each person. This chair is totally different than an everyday chair.
Therapists help Keith transfer into a rugby chair.
You sure you want to do this?
Keith rejoins the group in the gym and does a spin.
How I feel, big dog? How I feel?
I feel like I'm on a battering ram.
He rolls it down a hall.
It's different, right? That's so cool. How are you feeling?
It's unreal. It's a whole different aspect of being in a wheelchair. See how rugged it is? Run into anything.
He faces down Zupan.
We can't.
I won't.
Can't do it. You're in a hospital. You can't do it.
We go outside?
You're on hospital grounds and you're, God forbid, something goes wrong or hurt yourself or anything. You're still a little fragile.
Can I give him a love tap?
No. No.
Can you stand there?
No.
He's not going to fall out.
Smiling, Keith gently bumps into Zupan's chair while riding the rugby chair.
I don't want to ruin your chair either. Why do people like just throw their body at it?
And you're strapped in a little differently when you're in it. So.
The therapist bites her lip as she watches.
Okay. I see.
Keith and the therapist go back down the hallway. Lights and billboards shine in Times Square. A car pulls up to the Marriott Hotel, where a sign reads, "Welcome to the U.S. Olympic Media Summit."
For those of you who aren't aware, the Paralympic Games follow just a few weeks after the Olympic Games. This year they'll be running September 17th through the 28th in Athens, using all the same venues and events, stadiums, everything in Athens, Greece.
We are playing, competing, and you know, right now we are too.
It's an amazing sport to watch, and I think until you see it live, it's really hard to appreciate.
Until the games, it's just going to be the hardest training of my life.
The view pans across several curtained-off interview pods, where athletes are filmed in front of USA banners. Zupan.
I mean, this is just crazy. I didn't expect anything like this.
Tell me about wheelchair rugby.
It used to be called Murder Ball, but you can't really market Murder Ball to corporate sponsors.
We've been hearing about a rivalry between the U.S. and Canadian quad rugby team.
You guys are really out there going after each other.
We have a reputation of always staying on top and always winning gold, so we don't want to be the first team to let our country down and not win.
A photographer snaps his photo.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you.
On a panel.
I came a day early and I went and spoke at a rehab hospital, and there's this young guy that just got hurt, and you know, he's hurt, he was told about rugby. I brought a rugby chair. We couldn't get him out of the rugby chair when it was time to leave. He's just like, this is great. I want to go hit stuff. So just to see that, his eyes lighten up and being so happy, it's just so fulfilling.
1 month to Paralympics.
C13 has more with the American Paralympic rugby team.
The country's Paralympic rugby team preps for its biggest day in 4 years. The Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece are just a month away.
Watching the Olympic ceremony the other day, the opening ceremony, that really got my blood going, realizing that we're only, you know, less than 30 days away.
Hey, Bobby, have you seen Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
Remember that dude, the little Asian guy that gets in that box and they break into the bank or the casino?
Hey.
Well, we're going to try that with you.
You know how funny that would be? Oh, my God, I'm going to piss myself.
Me too, I got to pee.
So let's call the girls.
No. We're asking if we can
call
do
the
it.
Girls.
Right. Bob empties a cardboard box.
Oh, just flip it upside down.
Yeah, just put it right over top.
Bob ducks into the box and tips it down over his body.
Will it work?
Well, exactly.
Bobby, are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Sure not.
Hold on. Where are you going?
I'm
staying. Oh, fuck. Bobby's gonna suffocate.
Zupan calls someone.
Quickly, my box fell over with my bag in it.
He just needs a hand real quick. I can't pick up the bag.
A woman kneels by the box.
Just pick it up quick, I guess.
Just pick it up quick.
Should I put it like this?
No, because I don't think
I'd pick it up, and then the bag will be.
Just pick it straight up.
All right.
Yeah, that was real fucking funny.
I went to the wedding, and my chick's mom's sister comes up. She goes, "Hi, Scotty. I'm so-and-so. I hear you're going to the Special Olympics." And all of a sudden, I went from being the man at the wedding to a fucking retard. And, I mean, it was the worst feeling. Special Olympics is something that happens once a year, and it's for people who are mentally challenged. What they do in the Special Olympics is very honorable. It's amazing what they can do. But this is something that's totally different.
A little different. We're not going just for this feel-good. Please, pat me on the back. Thank you. Thank you for participating.
Yeah. No.
We're not going for a hug. We're going for a fucking gold medal.
1 week to Paralympics. Outside, Zupan wears headphones as he cranks his chair and it speeds across the pavement. Joe speeds down a street on a hand cycle flying the Canadian flag.
When we're prepping, we got to put emphasis on stopping Kirkland, stopping Zupan. Jump on him, hit him, turn him. The adventure begins. We just can't be satisfied with just stopping it.
Kevin.
We've got to forget the past. We have to forget what happened in Sweden. We got to forget what happened in Vancouver. Now it's time to go to Athens and take care of business.
A ramp lowers and Zupan boards a bus. A lift raises Joe's chair. Players hug loved ones and board buses. They wait on a tarmac, and Zupan grins as he rides piggyback onto a plane. Text appears over stone ruins, Athens, Greece. A view races past parking barriers, security lines, an x-ray machine, up steps, past a courtyard, and through an atrium. It pauses at a sign, Athens 2004. athletes speed by in sleek racing chairs, sprint with prostheses, play sitting volleyball, and fire guns at targets. More athletes using wheelchairs bench heavyweights, compete in taekwondo and fence. A torch burns as runners carry an American flag. At the airport, a sign in Greek translates to arrivals. Text over black. Zupan invites Christopher Igo to see him play. Christopher carries a duffel bag through the airport. He rides a bus with a stop labeled in Greek and English, Olympic Stadium. He stands and holds onto handrails as a couple riders using wheelchairs ride beside him. He glances to another passenger with missing forearms. He peers out the bus windows as it passes by the open-air fields and stadiums. A post with an image of a quad rugby player is labeled Gate 2. Christopher enters the stadium. Inside, he wears an American flag bandana on his head and a flag draped around his neck as Zupan gives him a warm hug. The friends laugh, and Zupan tosses him a cap with his rugby number on it. Christopher puts it on. Zupan's dad smiles as he takes a picture with his girlfriend and Christopher. Outside, flags wave in the breeze as the torch burns under an overcast sky. Text: after 5 days of competition, Team USA has defeated Germany, New Zealand, Japan, and Australia. In an empty stadium, spotlights shine down on a sleek court. Joe enters and takes it in. At the match between USA and Canada, the scoreboard lists the players' numbers. Christopher watches from the crowd as the players stretch and pit crews prepare backup wheels. The packed crowd does the wave. Zupan weaves past his team as they warm up and fans beam. Joe drops his fist. The athletes get into position in the center of the court, and the ref tosses the ball into the air. Christopher waves the American flag in the crowd as the players race across the court. In slow motion, a player passes to Zupan, who glides across the goal line, then throws the ball to a ref. Christopher cheers and grins widely. Zupan's dad claps. A big screen flashes, goal. Now, a Canadian athlete hurls the ball all the way across the court. His teammate grabs it and scores, and Joe gives a thumbs up. Andy passes, then collides with a Canadian player. Team USA crosses the goal line again, tying the score at 5-5. With the ball in his lap, Zupan spins in his chair to deflect a hit, and Jess watches from the stands. He cranks his chair and avoids an attack as he crosses the goal line. Jess applauds over her head, and the coach gives the okay sign. Zupan runs defense against a Canadian player, blocking his path. Another player blocks Zupan, and Joe cheers his player on. He scores, and Canadian fans go wild. The scoreboard in period two shows USA 7, Canada 8. Andy dribbles the ball as another American player blocks an attack. Andy scores, and American fans leap out of their seats. Tied 10-10, an American player passes and Zupan catches. He scores with a wide-open court, and his family cheers with Christopher. Canada ties the scores at 11. Joe claps. In a tight battle at the goal line, USA scores, and fans wave their flags. Joe shouts at his team as they get the ball and complete a pass. An athlete recovers from an attack, then barrels across the court. Joe shouts, "Go, go, go!" A Team USA player tries to block, but the Canadian competitor weaves past him and scores. In the third period, the score is 16-14, with Canada in the lead. Canada scores again, then blocks a pass by the U.S. team. Leading by two, Canada scores again, then knocks over an American player with the ball. fourth period. The scoreboard shows 18-20, Canada. Team USA misses a pass, and Zupan argues with a ref. His mom covers her mouth, and the USA coaches frown. A Canadian athlete grabs the ball and scores, sending the cheering Canadian fans into the wake. Joe cheers, and Hogsett shouts his team on from the sidelines. A Canadian player scores, and Jess curses and holds her head. The clock ticks down from 10 seconds. Christopher's face falls as the clock reaches zero. USA 20, Canada 24. A Canadian player spikes the ball, and the stadium erupts. Joe hugs one of his players as the Canadians celebrate. Joe holds up his arms triumphantly, then pumps his fist. Team USA slouches on the sidelines. Mark's dad hangs his head, and an American fan folds up his flag as the stands empty out. Kevin folds his hands beside the other coach. He shakes his head and chokes up. Jess waits outside the court with more of the team's family and friends. Christopher leans against a post. Zupan's dad glances at a door. A young woman wraps Hogshead in a hug, and he buries his head in her shoulder. Parents walk behind another player, rubbing his back. Another athlete's mother presses her forehead to his with comforting words. Andy kisses and hugs his girlfriend, rubbing her arm. Zupan buries his head in his girlfriend's chest, and she kisses him and hugs him close. Another family hugs nearby.
Todd, you're the best son ever. My boy, the best son anybody could ever have. God, make me so proud. God, you're the best one ever. Oh, I love you too, my boy. I never thought we'd be here.
A tear runs down a woman's cheek. Kevin watches the interactions with a somber face. Zupan dabs his tears with Jess's sweatshirt.
My feelings are more than I can let by.
Hogsett rests his head against his girlfriend's stomach. Jess kneels in front of Zupan as his family pats his back.
Just follow the day. Follow the day.
At an awards ceremony, Team USA receives wreaths and medals. Text, Team USA beat Great Britain to win the bronze medal. They hold bouquets of flowers as they look around the stadium. Joe cheers on his team as a scoreboard reads, Canada 29, New Zealand 31. Text, Team Canada won the silver medal. Sixth-ranked New Zealand won the gold. On the rankings board, New Zealand climbs to number one ahead of Canada at two and United States at three. Team Canada poses with their medals, and Joe applauds and pumps up the crowd. Text over a view moving down a highway, Alexandria, Virginia. Kevin sits in the back of the bus with a tight frown. The rest of Team USA rides along, most of them staring off or looking out the windows. A coach dozes off. Bob chews gum, and Hogsett listens to earbuds.
I got injured 11 years ago in a freak accident out at a lake cabin. I got pushed off the balcony and broke my neck.
Andy.
A friend who was driving on the freeway went into the median and hit a tree.
Zupan.
I got thrown out the back of a pickup truck, and I spent about 14 hours in a canal hanging onto a branch.
I contracted a neurological disorder when I was one, but it's allowed me to play quad rugby.
Demonstration for Iraq War veterans from Walter Reed Hospital in a gym.
We're going to divvy you guys up a little bit. We're going to show you a little bit of rugby, and then those of you that want to try it after we're done, kind of giving a live speed version of rugby. Anyone that's Air Force, Marines, or Navy, you guys are going to be with the blue team, and then all the Army guys will be with the red team.
My job is to hold him and then hopefully snag a wheel on his way by. If I can slow him down for 1 second or maybe 2 seconds, then I've done my job.
It's full wheelchair contact, and it's definitely a lot of fun. If you like football and any physical sports, then you'll definitely love wheelchair rugby.
So I guess we're going to play so
you guys can
actually see the game.
I can't throw that far just so that you guys...
It doesn't matter.
Can you throw from
me? None of us could in the beginning.
Don't worry about it. You're going to do an awesome job. You're going to do a fabulous job.
A slender teen with a missing leg tosses the ball, but it falls short. He tries again, makes the pass, and speeds down court. Cut to black. Directed by Henry Alex Rubin, Dana Adam Shapiro. Produced by Jeffrey Mandel, Dana Adam Shapiro. In a parking lot, Keith races a young boy on a tricycle. Text, Keith is saving up $3,000 for his first rugby chair. He lets the boy win. President George W. Bush.
Congratulations. May God continue to bless our country.
The view pans over to Zupan in the front of the crowd. Text, Zupan became the official spokesman for Team USA. Christopher trails Zupan down a hallway and packs a rugby chair wheel as more text appears. He and Christopher Igo talk every day. Text, Hogsett met the girl of his dreams at a bar. She sits on his lap, holding his hand with an engagement ring on her finger. Text, they are getting married in the spring. He sweetly kisses her shoulder. Teammates chat at an outdoor event. Text, Andy has begun training for the 2008 Paralympics in Beijing. Six teammates wrestle on a gym floor. Bob climbs on a teammate's back, and the player bucks like a bronco, knocking him off. Text, Bob has been dating a girl from Birmingham. She is a Paralympic gold medal swimmer. The pair wear Team USA jerseys and kiss.
Come on, Joe, bring it in!
It's coming, baby!
Come on, Joe, right there!
In a parking lot, Joe plays wheelchair baseball. He hits the ball and races to a base.
No way, that's fair!
Text, Joe was fired from Team Canada. He is applying to be head coach of Team USA. A middle school certificate of achievement for orchestra assistant hangs between several new trophies. Text, he has expanded his wall to include Robert's trophies. Credits appear over black, shot by Henry Alex Rubin, based on the article by Dana Adam Shapiro, edited by Jeffrey Richmond, co-edited by Connor O'Neill, post-production supervisor Jason E. Stoff. Associate Editor Sarah Elise Cross. Assistant Editors Stephen J. Walker, David Egan, Jamie Gross. Music Supervisor Tracy McKnight. Original score by Jamie Saft. Co-producer Christian Ettinger. Associate Producer Tony Tamborelli Sr. Media Manager Stephen J. Walker. Animation by Damon Ciarelli, David Egan. Featuring Joe Soares, Robert Soares, Patty Soares, Mark Zupan, Christopher Igo, Jessica Wampler, Jeff Nickel, Frank Cava, Keith Cavill, Joanne Cavill, Robert Cavill, Scott Hogsett, Bob Lujano, Andy Cohn. More credits roll. In memory of Joe Mandel, Fred Urban, Howard Weisberg. Copyright 2005 Eat Films, LLC. All rights reserved. Soundtrack available on Commotion Records. Logos, Think Film, MTV Films, and A&E Indie Films.